You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand International Film Festival's Autumn Events program is running from May 10th to May 21st, and I'm lucky enough to be speaking to New Zealand International Film Festival Director Bill Gosden. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Alice. I'm good.
Speaking to you down in Wellington.
I am. I'm sitting in my office in Wellington, where I'm mostly working on the main event for July at the moment, but I'm very happy to talk about what we've got happening at the moment.
Yeah, I love the idea of the autumn events as a little taster, you know, a couple of months before the festival.
What we particularly like about it is the opportunity to get into the Civic for a weekend ahead of the main event, because the Civic is my favourite place in New Zealand to see a movie. I mean, it's fantastic, and it doesn't get to show movies often enough because it's primarily, of course, a live venue.
I totally agree. I think it's one of the highlights of the film festival is going to see a movie in the Civic and that beautiful surrounding.
It's impossible to imagine the film festival without it, really.
So tell me a bit about what you have programmed for Autumn Events this year.
The program is almost entirely a classic program this year. The one new film that we're premiering in Auckland at Autumn Events this year is Terrence Malick's extraordinary cosmic pseudo-documentary called Voyage of Time, Life's Journey, which is a film he's been working on for 40 years. Terrence Malick is probably best known recently for his film The Tree of Life, which won the big prize at Cannes about 4 or 5 years ago and starred Brad Pitt. In that film, there were sections where that took you into the head of a small boy as he imagined all the big questions about the formation of the chaos and what happens after death and all the big questions that children probably allow to run in their heads more freely than most grown-ups do. And there were these extraordinary sections in the film which involved a lot of nature photography and CGI, including some rather clumsy CGI dinosaurs, unfortunately, which I remember sitting in the Civic watching at the film festival, and there was this kind of ripple of a laugh went through the audience, which I'm sure was not what Terrence Malick had in mind. But this film, Voyage of Time, kind of goes back to that notion and works it out on a very grand scale. You can't always tell what it is you're watching in Voyage of Time, but every moment of it is spectacular. Some of the time you're watching microscopic photography. You're watching tiny, tiny events in the universe being blown up to fill the Civic screen. Other times you are watching CGI of kind of interplanetary travel or solar storms. It's quite amazing.
Cool. Did you say he's been working on it for 40 years?
Yeah, apparently. He claims that it's a film that's been in the works for 40 years and that it contains footage that goes back that far. But the bulk of it, I would say, would be from the last 4 or 5 years. I'm just extrapolating that from my knowledge of his other work. It does have a little bit of human activity in it. It has absolutely no narrative, you know, unlike Tree of Life, which was narrative-based and seemed to be a recollection of his own childhood in Texas and a growing up with a rather tough father played by Brad Pitt. But in this, there's the only kind of human activity you see amongst all this cosmic activity are little flashes of mostly kind of apocalyptic imagery of poverty in India and quite a depressing view of humanity that's just interleafed into this much grander vision.
Wow, it sounds cool.
It's pretty perplexing. I was lucky enough to be at the world premiere of the film at the Venice Film Festival, and the audience afterwards was really quite stunned, I think. One of the people in the party I was with was incredibly excited about the film and she was chattering away quite enthusiastically about it, and it was quite noticeable that everybody else was kind of standing there still taking it in.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that definitely sounds like you wanted to go see if you want to maybe be challenged a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it just is... I mean, it's trippy. There's no two ways about it. It's also interesting that he's made several different versions of this film, and this is his theatrical version. There is a shorter version, which plays in IMAX cinemas, and is much more family-friendly, apparently. I haven't seen the shorter version. Probably not as kind of scary, and the shorter version's narrated by Brad Pitt. In this version, we're showing there's no narration, but there's a voice, unmistakably the voice of Kate Blanchett, kind of posing the great questions about life, death, and the meaning of it all, and addressing them to a female divinity of some kind.
Wow. So that's Voyage of Time, Life's Journey. I'd also like to ask about, because I know we have a couple of tickets to give away, the Woodstock 3 Days of Peace and Music.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows about the Woodstock Music Festival in 1969. It's seen as something as one of the pivotal events for the boomer generation. And I'm old enough to remember when it happened. But I think most of us who were around at that time remember it because of this movie. And this movie really cemented the whole mythology of the rock festival, which was held in upstate New York on farmland, and the headlining acts, who are stunning in the film, are The Who and Jimi Hendrix in particular, but also Sly and the Family Stone for people who are into that kind of funkadelic music. The Sly and the Family Stone sequence in the film is astounding. But the film is also a very thorough documentary of the whole phenomenon of almost 500,000 young Americans coming together at a time when America was completely split. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the Vietnam War was the divisive issue at that time, and these young people are very much the anti-war crew. And the film observes the farmers and the people who live in rural upstate New York kind of interacting with these great hordes of mostly white, middle class, completely disaffected young Americans. And I think that aspect of the film is really fascinating because, of course, that generation that you're seeing in the film, in their youth, are now the generation who are running things. And the idealism of those people, and, you know, I quite deliberately describe them as middle class because, you know, it's very clear that these are quite privileged kids that could drop everything and, you know, head across America and go to this festival. But, you know, they're pretty much the ruling class now.
It sounds fascinating.
It's a totally fascinating film. I mean, I remember it made a huge impact on me and everybody else my age when the film came out. It was one of the interesting things about it, too, is because it was such an alternative event. It was this kind of gigantic alternative event which nobody felt could succeed because it was just so huge, and how could these hippies actually, you know, organize their way out of a paper bag? And yet the whole thing worked, despite the fact that there was rather bad weather. You know, the FAMO was got famously muddy. Although it was the middle of summer, though, so nobody got cold. It was warm. But excuse me, I think I've caught your little cough.
Yeah, it's going round.
Yeah. The film shows the interaction, but also makes you very well aware of the fact that, I mean, almost everybody drove there. These incredible helicopter shots of extraordinary traffic chaos and, you know, vast fields covered in parked cars, And the logistics of the Portaloos are very amusingly covered in the film.
Yeah, I'll have to give that one a watch. It sounds very cool. And so that's a couple of films there. I see there's about six more. Do you say more classic films?
Yes. I mean, Werner Herzog's famous Folly Fitzcarraldo, the film in which he actually dragged a giant steamboat across a mountain in the Amazonian jungle.
Oh, my God.
And that we're supporting with the film The Making of Fitzcarraldo, a film called Burden of Dreams.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I think Burden of Dreams is one of the great making of documentaries. I mean, they've become a whole genre since the sort of DVD era, haven't they? The making of documentaries, you always get one of those on the DVD.
Absolutely.
But there's a few, you know, remarkably good ones. There's Eleanor Coppola's film about the making of Apocalypse Now, and there's this one, Les Blanc and Maureen Gosling's film about the making of Fitzcarraldo. It's famous for a rant that Werner Herzog delivers in the jungle when things are going particularly badly for him. But it's a great portrait of a filmmaker as something of a megalomaniac.
Sounds amazing. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Bill. So if anyone wants to go check it out, they can head to www.nziff.co.nz and there's a section for the autumn events. And
yeah, that's where you should land, and you can book your tickets on the site.
Wonderful. I hope that you have a lovely weekend.
Okay, thanks a lot for your interest.
And good luck with that and the developing film festival.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.